I really couldn't think about Reverend Martin Luther King Jr. without thinking about love. Even though we very often think about resistance, anger, injustice at the highest level, a lot of what we think about from the time when he was here on earth doing his work is the scenes that were terrifying of brutality, racism, all of it, the worst. But really, at the heart of Dr. King's work was love, always. I was really moved this week by the sights of the monks walking from Texas to Washington. Did everybody see that, watching it? There are about 24 or so, and they're walking 2,300 miles for peace. So beautiful. And I loved hearing one of them say, "This is not a protest. This is a meditation." Even just thinking about it makes me feel softer, makes me feel a sense of peace. It's a wonderful reminder what they're doing, that resistance comes in many forms. We talked about this last Sunday. Today, we acknowledge the legacy of the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. and all that he accomplished while he was alive and all that he continues to inspire, hopefully, in the 58 years since his death. Because King spoke so often about love in terms of resistance, we know that love was really at the very heart of his message and his actions. Love was the driving force for him in his quest to bring peace and justice to this broken world. It's very, very important, however, that we differentiate, that we name the different kinds of love that exist. So drawing from Greek philosophy and theological traditions, we can name four different kinds of love. The first one is eros, and it is the love of attraction, longing, and creative energy. In its healthiest form, eros draws people toward connection and vitality. The second one is philia, and that is the love of friendship. It grows out of shared values, mutual respect, and trust built over time. Philia binds communities together through loyalty, cooperation, and common purpose. Then there is a love called storge. Have you all heard of these before? Anyone studied any of this? Is this? Yeah. Well, I'm glad if it's new to you. The third one is called storge. Storge is the quiet, enduring bond between people like parents and children, grandparents and grandchildren, and within families and long-standing communities. It expresses itself through care, protection, and presence. And the fourth one is called agape. Agape is self-giving moral love. It seeks the good of the other and the good of the whole, independent of attraction, familiarity, or merit. In the theological language, agape reflects divine love expressed through human action. Divine love expressed through human action. We are the conduit for a greater love. It's a big part of our purpose in this world, to channel that love and bring it into the world. In ethical language, agape is love translated into justice, dignity, and responsibility. These forms of love, of course, are not in competition with each other. A full human life includes all of them. Eros gives energy, philia builds community, storge roots us in care. Agape guides moral action beyond personal bonds. Moral action. When Martin Luther King Jr. spoke of radical love, he focused on agape, but he did not treat it as an abstract theological idea. He treated it as a public ethic. It was deeply embedded in his call to action. He stood always very, very firm in his belief in nonviolence. I think probably most of you heard the words of Michelle Obama when she used to say, when they go, remember, low, we go high, right? King was essentially saying another version of the same thing. He said it over and over and over and over. We will not, in our desire for change, lower ourselves to the level of those who are harming others. We're not going there. I'm going to guess he, no doubt, King drew the concept of agape from his Christian theological background and also, of course, from the philosophy of nonviolence articulated by Mahatma Gandhi. This form of love, agape, allowed him to redirect anger toward constructive action. It allowed protest without cruelty and resistance without dehumanization. Agape, in its highest, finest form, is a practice in restraint and inner formation. It requires thinking, reflecting, and training. By grounding the civil rights movement in agape, King created a shared moral language, which was really, really important when people were constantly faced with fear and exhaustion and in conflict and disagreement all the time. Love became the glue that allowed for a sustained collective action. Agape was the tool with which King was able to help expand the moral imagination of his followers. I love that idea. To expand the moral imagination of his followers. King specifically asked people to see opponents not as enemies to be defeated, but as neighbors together living inside unjust systems. It's miraculous when you think about it. Not as enemies, but as neighbors together existing within unjust systems. Agape, this self-giving moral love, showed up in how King spoke, how he marched, how he negotiated, and how he endured suffering without surrendering to bitterness. And I'm going to guess, too, that agape sustained him through the threats, through the imprisonment, and through the constant risk that he endured in his lifetime. In his sermon called Loving Your Enemies, King insisted that agape love is the path to justice and peace. He said, "When I speak of love, I am not speaking of some sentimental and weak response. I am speaking of that force which all of the great religions have seen as the supreme unifying principle of life. Love is somehow the key that unlocks the door which leads to ultimate reality. Love is somehow the key that unlocks the door that leads to ultimate reality." Agape is a demanding love that shapes character and public responsibility, and one that continues to challenge us to live up to its promise. It reminds us, it should remind us, that we are all connected as one. King's legacy calls us to practice a love that confronts harm and protects dignity. We are called to love the enemy. And boy, is this the hardest thing on earth to do. If you think about it in terms of your own life and the people that you don't like or the people that drive you crazy, let alone the greater forces of darkness in this world, choosing to love someone who drives you nuts for whatever reason, someone who thinks differently than you, loving someone who has made your life difficult in some way, to choose love in the face of adversity, this is hard work. Has anyone ever tried it? Love instead of resistance, love instead of retribution, love instead of wanting to get even, love instead of wanting to be right. It's the work of a lifetime. theologian Richard Rohr, who started the Center for Action and Contemplation in New Mexico, someone whose work I greatly admire, has spoken on the subject. He said, "Far from being the pious injunction of a utopian dreamer, the command to love one's enemy is an absolute necessity for our survival." No. He puts it straight. The command to love one's enemy is an absolute necessity for our survival. Our responsibility as humanitarians, I would say as Unitarians, is to discover the meaning of this command and to seek honestly to live it in our daily lives. And we have to practice it in our own lives, and that's what makes us better at doing it in the larger world. You could even begin today. Identify one person in your life that's hard to love and meet the situation with only love. King preached nonviolence on the grounds that we are all united, that we are all children of a higher power of universal love. And many of us trust in this idea that all of life is connected. But what it means is that we do not get to pick and choose who is and isn't inside that web. It's everything and everyone. We have to find, we already know this, a peaceful means to the problems that plague our society. If we meet anger with more anger or a desire for retaliation, we are not moving the needle forward. Love is the answer every single time. It is, as I said already, the work of a lifetime, but it is not, bear in mind, romantic, sentimental love that we're talking about. Agape is an active, creative, daring, public love that resists all the forces of darkness in the world. And boy, do we need it today more than ever. Put some agape in your pocket when you leave here today and spread it wherever you go, please.